All right, good evening. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. For this CBHA monthly board meeting for Tuesday, April 22nd, 2024. Please be advised we are broadcasting this and it is being recorded. With that, you stand up for the flag salute. I'd appreciate it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first, first of all, I'd like to publicly thank Pat Olive for all the work that she's done over the past year. She's spent numerous hours, probably, in I'm guessing 30 to 40 hours a week as a volunteer. She's amazingly good-hearted, good person that spent a lot of time on our behalf here. She elected to step aside, and here we are. So thank you for, with that, thank you for coming and being a part of the association and being a part of our decision-making process here. We actually really do appreciate it. And I wanted to just I'm here, I wanted to, you know, publicly remind everybody that the board members are all volunteers. We're all on our own time. We're all good folks, at least these guys are. And everyone brings it with their own skills, perspectives, personalities. And those have obviously come out over the years. In order for us to move through the agenda, we do ask that you respect what we added to the bylaws last year, which was that members wanting to questions answered or to submit those to the board on the Wednesday prior to the board meeting so that we can have time to, you know, put together an answer and get it on the agenda and so forth. So, to that end, you know, we will accept member comments. By tradition, we've taken member comments at the board. I do encourage you to keep your comments positive, professional, and refrain from perpetuating any gossip or innuendo that you may hear out there. So with that, we do want to open it up for member comments, and we'll do kind of keep it to 3 minutes per comment, and the board mayor, by and large, we're not going to open that up into a broader discussion based on the member comments at this time. So, do we have any member comments?
Just curious of process. I'm not familiar with the board's process, so this is a question. I'm here to talk about a decision that was made by the architecture board. And is that a comment, or is that where does that fall in the process?
Yeah, so I actually, are you the one on Windward?
Yeah.
I have your file right here. I was informed, I'm sorry, I'm Destiny, I'm the trustee for that committee.
Yeah.
Good, nice to meet you.
This is Anise.
Anise?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice to meet you. I got an email this morning about...
Yeah, I understand, that's kind of a last minute thing. I just wasn't sure what...
So we've done a lot of...
Where in the process I would...
Yeah. So I think, we plan to reach out to you with next steps. We wanted to kind of come together in executive session to discuss your property and your case specifically, and then Just then, kind of come back with some next steps.
Yeah, and then Industry will reach back out to you and work that out. That's really a matter between you and the board member at this point.
Yeah.
And should there be more action to be taken, we'll get it on the agenda for next month.
You're on my list of contact. So,
okay. I guess I'm still confused. So is there like no forum for my perspective, I guess? That's what I'm
you can. I can tell you that I have very little context for that situation. I'm still kind of coming up to speed.
Okay.
So that's the purpose of our session tonight, is to kind of...
Yeah.
Get aligned on it. But you're more than welcome to say your piece.
No, I mean, I don't need to say my piece if it's not helpful. And so...
Well, it might be helpful in context for the rest of us.
Yeah.
I think the best option at this point is for these nice folks to work with the Architectural Control Committee trustee to come to a resolution on their own. And should they not come to a resolution, then it can come back to the board and be on our agenda for next.
And what is the process for that?
She'll get with you.
Yeah, and to be clear, there isn't a document in this building that says this is exactly what you do, which is part of the problem, I think. So we come together, we discuss the file, and then we're like, okay, this is what we should probably do next. And then we reach out and say, okay, this is the process that we'll follow. I wouldn't say there's anything really
wrong. I think you'll be very satisfied with the process with working with Destiny.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, I don't really need to stay. It's
a very long meeting. You're welcome
to
stay.
Wendy is in the back. She has something.
Yes, ma'am.
Diana, I'm just wondering if you're still in the Memorial Garden.
Yes, we're going to have a meeting this week.
Okay, so if I can't make the meeting, how do I contact you?
Just call me.
About the tree.
Oh, you can just call me. I'll give you my number. Okay. 360?
Yep.
751?
Good.
4160. That was easy. I like easy ones.
Yes, ma'am.
On the proposition, the first one, I guess it's, Article 4, Section 2. Where will the new information, which is down here, be placed in here?
We'll be working through those later in the agenda. We'll be working through those later in the agenda.
But will
you be answering my specific questions? Yes. Okay. Any other questions? Going once, going twice. Awesome. So, I don't have it on listed on here, but I do want to accept or entertain a motion to accept Pat's resignation at this time.
I move that we accept Pat Collins' resignation as president of this board.
I can second that.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Then you want to make another motion?
Which one am I writing here? I have them on my list here, but I'm not.
Regarding the vice president to president.
Yes. So I also move that we move Stan, who's been our vice president, into Pat's place as president for the rest of the duration of this year.
Generally, what we do
we're going to take that acting.
Acting.
Okay. That's acting.
Just.
That's what we've done in the past.
Yeah, that's okay. What the intent is.
That makes sense. Okay. So I've moved that we accept Stan as our acting president.
I second.
All in favor? Or discussion? All in favor?
All in favor.
Yay. I'm not sure if that's a curse or a blessing.
It's a curse.
You have some pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Lisa was telling me earlier. Okay, so Destiny, we're going to the meeting minutes from last time.
Yeah, so I have a little bundle for you guys. We have February and March's minutes. Diane, you mentioned that the February minutes needed a correction last time and that you abstained from a vote, so I've made that modification. And then the March minutes are there. So, I don't know. There's not a whole lot to say. They're pretty dang long. The only thing that is missing would be motion 3, the ballot committee. At the time, I didn't have that list. I have it written down somewhere in my giant binder. So that would just be, we could, I guess, conditionally approve these minutes as we add this list of ballot committee members to motion 3, just to be thorough.
So we want to put
Could you guys speak up a little bit again?
Can't hear.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'll shut it off.
Yeah, shut the air conditioning off.
Yeah. It's not quite summer yet.
I know, but the sun is like blizzards in here.
It actually feels
good. Right.
They figured out our ploy.
I had to hear you
either.
So
I was getting ready to say something.
As I mentioned earlier, really, personalities, mine is kind of
whacked.
Yes.
But it works. But it works. So that's good. So, motion to accept the minutes?
Yes. Are there any changes, any concerns with any of that?
No, they look good to me.
So, did you have, sorry.
Can you read the list of the people?
So, I is buried somewhere in here. I have to find it. I have
so
been.
It's not on the paper.
No, it's not
I
in the minutes.
I can tell you who most of them are.
Yeah.
It's Judy Carey. Lyle Morgan is on the committee. Marsha, are you not on the ballot committee?
No.
I thought you were going to help count ballots.
You were a question mark on my list.
Oh.
So thank you.
Okay, because they said you were.
Well,
okay.
I'm just helping on Friday. I'm
right.
Not, I'm
that's
not
what
counting
I mean.
On Saturday.
Right, but you are on the committee because you're helping on Friday.
Okay.
So
yes. Okay.
Colleen Weston. Alona. Mm-hmm. How do you say the last name?
Matson.
Thank you. I wasn't sure what her last name was. And then there's the lady and man that did it last year, and I can't remember their names.
John and Nancy Eller.
That's it.
John and Nancy Eller. Perfect. Thank you. There are like 500 papers in that binder.
That is the correct ones, correct?
Yep.
Thank you.
And then Marsha Rugg is the chair.
Marsha. Yeah, Marsha, she knew that one.
Yeah, she's the ballot chair, right? So anyway, I will get those added in. I just been working on that packet like a mad woman and haven't had a chance. So yes. Other than that, anything?
I only know that because I met with Marsha last week and we had lunch and she was telling me who was all on the committee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Judy and Lyle are both here, so
she's been very helpful. Okay.
So could we move to accept those minutes with those additions, later additions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I make a motion that we accept last meeting's minutes with the inclusion of the ballot committee written down.
I second. Good reading.
Marsha Rugg is the chair, Lyle Morgan, Colleen Weston, Alona Munson, John and Nancy Ellard, and Judy Perry.
That was seconded by Richard.
Yes.
A-R-K.
Any discussion?
No.
All right, thanks, guys. One last
very good.
All in favor?
Yeah.
And did we have a second thing to approve? Or did that?
I just have packet stuff, but
okay. I thought that I saw and there was two things in the minutes.
Yeah, I just had 2 months of minutes. Yeah, February,
okay.
March.
Was that included in the motion?
I typed it down that way. Is that not the way
okay.
It was said? Maybe I'm typing things I'm not hearing.
Okay.
Well, Diane motioned to approve March's minutes with the ballot
edition,
but do you need people to vote to approve February's with the correction, or did you guys do that last month?
No, we didn't. We had a correction.
I make a motion that we approve February's minutes with the correction made by Diane.
A second.
Somebody will second it.
Somebody second it, please.
All in favor? There we go.
Thank you.
All right, so moving right along, Treasurer's Report.
Hey, March 31st, 2024. Income, dues, $52,716. Special assessment, $4,207. Other sources, $1,802. Events group had no income last month. Parks and Rec income, $410. Marina income, $2,766. wastewater treatment plant sewer income $30,456, water system income $11,477, total income $103,834. Sorry, guys. Note, accounting is done on an accrual. Okay, total special assessment funds received roughly is about $345,000. And that's the water, the well. That's what we're talking about.
To date,
yes. Sorry. Accounts receivable, current aging over 60 days is $78,923. Monthly expenses, total expenses, $95,709. Budgeted expenses, $90,478. Budget variance is a negative 5.8%. Note, expenses are under budget due to decreases in employment costs. If our employment costs were on budget, we would be over our budget. Year-to-date expenses, $745,607. Year-to-date budgeted expenses, year-to-date budget. Oh, I'm so sorry, you guys. $814,305. Our budget variance is plus 8.4%. March covered by unrestricted capital. There were no expenses covered by that. Current bank loan, that's the wall project, is $851,643.45. Current funds balance sheet, the Marina Fund has $127,762. Sewer Fund has $22,580. Water Fund has $18,232. March bank balances, general checking $402,931. Events Group has $3,339. Unrestricted Capital Fund has $187,934. Restricted Capital Fund has $308,834. The CDs have $260,942. Total cash assets, $1,163,980, down from $1,173,289. Ongoing accounting projects, audit, water fee, and special assessments billings. Sorry.
So I wanted to make note that we are going to be transferring a substantial amount of cash from the general checking, $225,000, to the bank loan, to pay down the bank loan. That will cause the bank loan to be recast, dropping our payment by approximately $5,000 a month, which leads us to allow...
Don has a question.
What's the very last sentence, sir?
The one that I couldn't spit out?
No, ongoing accounting projects, water fee, slash special assessment buildings.
So I think that would be when the water goes online, correct?
No, it's auditing to make sure that we captured all of the correct billings for everybody who's currently paying the water fees and the special assessment fee.
We're in the process of going through auditing, making sure we're billing everyone and so forth. We still have the transition there where I have some concerns that we're billing everybody that we should be billing and that we could have missed some lots in transition from our old accounting system into Vantage. So last week I initiated doing some audit work to verify that we actually are billing out everybody that we should be billing out.
So are we spending more now on management property-wise than what we were when we were just having them as an accounting service?
Right now, no. The fee is the same.
Okay. was just asking.
No,
that audit work is on my time, which is free.
There's nothing free.
Stan's taking over that 30 to 40 hours.
I do warrant you to get what you pay for. So, at any rate, once again, we need to make sure that this isn't going to turn into a community forum. This is,
so the reserve fund is listed under the March bank balance section. There's unrestricted capital fund and restricted capital fund and Timberland Bank CDs. That all adds up to your reserve amount.
I just said it differently.
So I don't mind taking a question here or there to clarify something, but I don't want it to turn into a long discussion. Mm-hmm. Right.
And you got any answer?
So, do we have anything further on the treasurer's report?
Well, I think we need to do this. I want to make a motion.
Okay.
So, we've worked on the budget quite a bit, and I would like to make a motion that the operating budget for next year is going to increase by 10%, just so you know that up front.
Sorry, what was that?
Operating budget is going to increase 10%, which we're allowed to do. This is due to the increased cost in everything from fuel to wages. The annual dues assessment will increase by $6 per month, with the capital fund assessment will buy $15 per month. Please note that in the past year, we have stayed within budget only because we have run short on staff. So if we were up to our staff levels, we would be behind. And it's unsustainable if we don't raise things. So we stayed within our 10% we're allowed, and then the other one we figured out we needed to do $15. Pursuant to the RCW 69.90.525, I move that the annual budget for the fiscal year of 2024 through 2025 be approved as submitted to go in the packets for the annual meeting.
And just to clarify for owners that are here, the board is approving the draft budget prepared by the budget committee. It would go out in the mailing, and the owners would be going to the annual meeting and voting to reject the budget.
So not what I just said.
I'm just clarifying.
Okay.
Or
approved.
Or approved.
I
know we've spent so many hours looking at this thing here, but is the B&O tax supposed to be in the sewer fund?
Seems like a good place for taxes.
Seems like we put it there for a reason.
Well,
no.
It's specifically on the sewer. I mean, we can talk about this later.
Yeah. The majority of the B&O tax is applied against the water and sewer. Our dues don't have B&O tax applied to them.
Right, but it's listed here.
So. Oh, is it under operating?
Yeah. It's somewhere under fees.
Under fees, insurance, and taxes.
And
taxes.
Yeah.
It's a tax.
It's a tax, but I'm not on the board.
Well, you probably know just as well as anyone.
It is. It's just, because we have a sewer fund and a water fund, those funds generally pay their own taxes. So, I don't want to hold up the whole adoption of this, but maybe that's just one more correction.
I can say the...
So, clarification, what are B&O taxes?
Because our general dues don't have a B&O tax against them, but our fee for services for water and sewer.
Sorry, I'm seeing it under fees and insurance and taxes.
Right.
And
B&O taxes.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it under sewer.
And that's because the sewer's budget. We're not looking at the sewer budget. The sewer has its own budget.
Right.
And you guys are just pulling this from your brains right now? Like,
yes.
Okay, that's why I'm not following. So,
we're talking $4,000. Oh, no.
That's 5,100.
Wrong line, excuse me.
5,100.
So if you need me to make this change, you can't vote on this budget. Right. So I'd have to go into the room and change this right now. So do you want me to do that? Or you'd have to push this off and try to...
Does it need to be there?
It has to be done tonight, right. So we get it in the packet.
Okay. And it does need to be over in sewer and water?
It should be a portion to sewer and water, although... Is it getting... Oh, that's just payroll that's getting pushed.
That's payroll taxes.
We can ink it and approve it and do that. I don't think that that's a problem. Unless you know, just... And does anybody object to moving that money over? That was an oversight that we saw that Lisa just brought to our attention.
No problem.
Oh, I think that's very doable. And this could be moved over to...
So that will increase our transfer to savings at the bottom to 12,000 and change. Okay. So, Dan, you want to restate your motion then? Well, the motion was a little piece of it, or I can read it if you'd like.
Yeah, my eyes are toast. I just got my glasses back. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Tiffany, does your comment pertain to this?
It doesn't pertain to
this,
it's just a clarification.
Okay.
So the amended motion will be pursuant to RCW 60.
We have a question in the audience.
We'll take that in a minute.
Okay.
Pursuant to RCW 6990525, Diane moves that the annual budget for the fiscal year of 24-25 be approved as submitted, subject to moving the
B&O tax
out of the operating budget and into the respective sewer and water funds. What's that?
I was going to make the motion.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, Diane just made the motion. I just read it for her.
You read it for me. I was going to second
if you want.
Yeah, I'll second.
Second?
Yeah.
Comments?
Curious what the year-over-year increase is. I believe that was a $21 to owners that you had shared just a second ago. What is that compared to the change from our 2022-2023 fiscal year?
Last year, we gave a $3 discount, and that dropped us down to $60. And we added $6 because we can go up 10%. And then the $15, where is that paper at? You and I talked about this, so I can...
Well, no, I think she's asking what it compares to the prior fiscal year.
I don't remember what we did last year for capital. I just know what we did for the operating budget. We dropped it. So we can start the water assessment.
I think that would be an interesting, or I'd like to see that in the packet if there is a place for it. Just a request. I know that everybody's working really hard to get that together, so just something to share.
Okay. Yeah, we do have year-over-year reports in there. I don't know if that specific figure is in there.
That's not going to be, we'll have to put it in there. I don't think it was in there.
Well, there's access to those reports.
Right.
We can easily get it.
We can pull it up. Yeah. Oh, no
you.
Problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I went to the last meeting, and in that meeting it was said that there was half a sewer price for pumping was going to go from 27 to 31. Is this captured in this thing? Or
that is not captured in the current operating budget for dues. That will be addressed at a later time. That's not part of this discussion at this time.
I mean, that's not part of the budget?
It's not part of the operating budget as we've defined it.
Okay. As you've defined it?
This budget that we're looking at, the water and sewer funds are not inclusive of it because they're broken out and addressed separately.
Real quick before we move on, Diane, you noted the increases in dues. I just wanted to get that into the minutes.
$6. So it's going from $60 to $66.
And those aren't necessarily exact numbers. That's 60 and 66. There's cents involved there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we're doing a $6 increase and a $15 increase.
Mm-hmm. And the 15 is for the capital fund.
I couldn't hear what you said.
The 15 is for the capital fund. Right now, we are not meeting what we need to do in our reserve study. And if we don't start to try to meet that, we are going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Well stated.
Thank you.
So, with that, we'll go ahead and take a vote on the accepting the annual or Diane's motion. All in favor? Pass unanimously. Okay, so committee reports. President, me. acting president. Had so much on my mind, I didn't actually prepare for this piece. The association's in really financially, although we're increasing the dues, we're actually in pretty good shape. Our biggest concern is that our dues are just barely covering the operations to keep the water on, the water flowing, the roads open, the sewer, flowing. As everybody's experienced rampant inflation this past couple of years, so has the association. And so, unfortunately, but we do have quite a bit of money in our CDs and, as Diane noted. So, but those increases are necessary to fully fund our reserve study, which is mandated by the RCWs, and which we do every year. And we have a lot of plant and equipment here. This clubhouse, the marina, the bulkhead. We have two very, very expensive trucks that run around here every day, and those things are in the hardest service that those trucks are designed for. They're designed to be on the road, not going sitting idling all day. As the guys have told me, typically those trucks will, with the pump that's on board, will pump 3, 4, 5 pumps a day and be driving. Ours are sitting idling and pumping 40 pumps a day. It's not, so we're really stressing those things, and they're getting old. So, and they're expensive. So we need to save up to be able to have the funds in the bank when we do need to replace them. But all in all, I think the association's doing great. It's challenging not having a on-site manager. But Mike and his team are doing a great job in supporting us, and we do appreciate it. What he does behind the scenes for us that you folks don't see is above and beyond my expectations.
Pretty phenomenal.
So, architecture.
Yeah, so the architecture committee had a meeting this week on Monday. Unfortunately, I was not made aware of that meeting, so I was not able to attend. So I'm playing catch up now. There's a file that we're going to review in executive session tonight to discuss the permit that was discussed at that meeting. So I guess this would be just, you know, my reminder that it's really important that committees operate with the board. Otherwise, we just kind of have groups of volunteers that are working, and there's a lot of like liability there in that, and that these volunteers are not being led or organized by the board. And then I guess on the communications side of things, not a whole lot going on there. Right now I am hyper focused on the annual meeting packet. Never done this before, so bear with me. If I send you a million emails, some of you have been helping out with that. I appreciate it. Mostly just trying to hunt down documents and make sure that nothing is overlooked and that we get everything to the printer in time, which is a little scary. But if you have any questions, if there's anything that I'm maybe not aware of, it can't hurt to send me a quick email and just make sure that that everything is included. Any questions or stuff?
Okay, so last month's compliance, we had types of complaints. We had four. One was junk cars, two unauthorized parking, and one yard debris. We had year-to-date barking dogs, two junk cars, three non-compliant rentals, two obstruction of use, six property damage, one short-term rentals, one unauthorized business, one unauthorized parking, two yard debris, one, for a total of 19 year to date. Total actions previous month closed without action, escalated by board, there were none. Hearings requested, none, sorry for the spelling error. Open, we have four, we have two resolved, for a total of six. Total actions year to date closed without action were five. They had not enough information for us to do anything with them. Escalated to the board were four. Hearing requested zero. Open six. Resolved four. A total of 19. Enforcement actions, fines, hearings. Total fines assessed previous month was zero. Hearings requested previous month zero. Total fines assessed year to date $250, and it was paid. We had one fine that was reversed. The community continues to be concerned about barking dogs. We have had two complaints about trees that had moved to hearing. Owner did not respond within the hearing deadline, and we have informed the have been informed by the community the trees have been trimmed. These complaints have been resolved. The compliance committee is made up of volunteers. We cost our association nothing, and we are happy to continue the job. Any questions?
Quick question.
Yeah. And then you said that you're happy to continue the job.
The group is happy to continue the job. So the proper way to submit a compliance complaint is to either come to the office and get a form, and or you can go online and get a form. Renters may not file a complaint. They have to have the landowner file it.
And we will not accept a verbal
complaint. Yeah, you cannot call the office. You have to file a form. If you're not willing to file a form, and it has to be clear, the ones that were left unresolved because they didn't have enough information, white dog on this street, but no address where the dog belongs. We can't do a loose white dog if we don't know where it came from. So we're a group of five, I believe, when we count. Yeah, five of us. We actually, the group has created a whole base where we track complaints, what step they're on. I have to say that Tiffany and Lyle are geniuses when it comes to building a database. I could never have done it. That's why it's volunteers. These ladies have worked really hard, and all the people that are on the compliance committee want the best for the community. We're not picking on people. We are only responding to legitimate complaints, but Dumpster days are coming, and after dumpster days, there will be letters going out about yard stuff. Just warning everybody.
It's coming.
When are dumpster days?
I can't remember. I can never remember a dumpster. It's in May sometimes.
It's the end of May. It's not Memorial Day weekend. It's usually the weekend before that.
It was June last year.
Was it June?
I can never remember. One year was May, and she's right. It was in June because we weren't here. So it just, I think it depends on when we get the dumpster.
On that note for the board is... last year, I went down and hung out there while they were filling dumpsters. And the dumpster, we had two dumpsters, and they weren't full.
They weren't? That's a first. Usually, they turn people away, Stan. Yeah,
they're usually full by 10 o'clock in the morning.
They weren't full when I was there in the early afternoon.
Wow.
So I was, and, you know, they were probably both half full. And so I'm like, okay, should we be paying for two dumpsters?
That's the first time I've ever heard that the dumpsters.
Okay,
have not
so maybe been. we didn't advertise it enough.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe we didn't advertise it enough.
And you didn't know about it right now, so I think maybe the advertising. Right.
So if I can get a date, we can use our handy dandy SMS tool and our email and our Facebook and.
Tyann's been working on it, I think,
securing
a date. So
and we put it on the board
too. I'll ask her to call.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be great, yeah, if she could
get
send
dumpster
that
day on the board.
And along with dumpster day, Tyann and I have been working with a shredding day because we have documents for the association that need to be shredded, but having a shredder come is kind of costly. So we were going to propose to the community you could shred a box of stuff for $5.
Love it.
Just to help offset the cost. We don't have a date for that yet.
That's a great idea.
We're working on that. I could probably put 10 boxes in there from my house.
So let's put that on.
Am I sleeping?
No.
Let's put that on the agenda for the workshop next month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, especially if it's a dumpster day.
That's what we'll talk about next month.
Yeah.
Oh, the dumpster day?
Yeah,
I don't know. That's why I was concerned about it, because, you know, a dumpster's not cheap, both the tip fee and the delivery.
Isn't it about
$300? Yeah,
something
like
that. That's
probably
the rental plus the tip fee.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we're into that thing by...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure by the time we do two dumpsters, it's going to be probably $1,500. I'm guessing. Totally guessing.
Oh, that's pretty
accurate.
So, that's because
I don't know. We'll have to look into it.
I have one more thing.
So,
we missed that one.
Maybe you have one more
thing? One more thing.
Okay.
So, recently a neighbor approached me about ownership of corner bioswales and middle of the street bioswales, and they thought it could be done by volunteers since we are so short staffed right now, and they're willing to step up and do their corner, and they're asking other neighbors to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them I would make sure I mentioned that tonight, and I almost forgot.
So do you mean like, I don't understand.
We're not just what you're saying.
I have a neighbor who started taking care of the bioswales around his property.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped me on the road and said, "Tyann, this is a great idea. People will probably do it. It's where if Bob and Wendy have bioswales by then, maybe they would want to do them since we're so short-staffed. Judy Perry and I and Anise and Shelley did them by our house last year." Mm-hmm. Just people stepping up and volunteering to do them.
That's all in our ditches?
Yeah.
The bioswales, yeah.
Yeah.
We do it anyway.
I know, but I just thought that was a great idea that somebody...
Well, I think we need to talk about that
later,
too, because there's a lot of things that we're looking at that volunteers could really help out in the community. And so that would be a great
idea. Yeah, that falls right into what we talked about earlier, is next year... my intent is to have one of the at-large trustees take over being a volunteer coordinator to coordinate. Put these projects together, put people's skills and abilities with the jobs that need to be done, work with the other trustees, you know, to bring our community together and to Barb is by far more important than I am, so go for it.
The dumpster day is June 22nd, and it starts at 7:30 a.m. But I can tell you, if you really want to get your junk dumped, you can start lining up about 6 o'clock, because that's when they line up in front of my house.
Yeah, and that...
Sorry about that, Stan.
That brings up another question on cost. Last year, we had two employees down there all day, which is time and a half for two guys.
Volunteers could do it.
Can we get volunteers to man those dumpsters?
Yeah.
Because we've got to have somebody manning them to make sure that people like me don't throw tires and everything else in there. So we got to have somebody there.
We can put out a call for volunteers to do that.
Hey, Ray, I volunteer. You'd volunteer.
Okay.
Is it just...
So,
is that a day?
Dumpster day.
Is it the one day, the 22nd?
Yeah, it's only one day.
I heard dumpster day, so I was like, how many days of dumpsters are there?
And that's been stamped and approved.
Yes, okay. It's already on the calendar.
Okay.
And it usually goes from 7:30 till they're full.
Okay.
I got a quick question. It's a little bit past us now, but what's the difference in a vial squall and a roadside ditch?
Great question.
It's a name only.
I knew
it.
Wow. Those roadside ditches, those were specially designed by Morrison and whatever. Because my ditch, they went back in and they cut it the way they wanted it cut, all the way down Seaview. My neighbors in front of me, there was concrete blocks that defined the sides of the ditch, and they took those out. So those were engineered, even though it's just...
The ditch. I think ditches are supposed to have water flow. Vials are supposed to
absorb. Right. So that's why you leave the grass in there. You need clumps of grass to help clean the water as it flows.
So I guess that would be my only comment. If we were to bring in volunteers and say, hey, let's take care of these bioswales together, maybe we have a class on what bioswales are supposed to do and... The right and wrong way.
That's something that we've talked about. Stan, you had something to say.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is we finish up what...
Yeah. There's a very aggressive...
if you'll remember, the county was out here last year and told us exactly what we were supposed to do in hiring an engineer to re-engineer these correctly, because water does not flow uphill, even in Carlin Beach.
You were
supposed to hire an engineer again.
Okay.
To correct all of the situations.
Regarding the volunteers, I appreciate your comment.
Check with the county on whether you can use volunteers to do this work.
We would have to check with the
Regarding the volunteers, as everybody agrees, that's a great concept, is to get people more involved. But we do need to have that volunteer coordinator to make sure that that all of these things are covered and that we have appropriate information to the people that are doing the work, and that they've also signed waivers of liability if somebody's doing mowing the bioswale, aka ditch, in front of their house, that they're at our behest, that we're not going to end up with somebody filing a claim on us.
Yeah.
So,
Marina.
Anything else on compliance?
Nope.
Okay, Marina. The Marina is, I don't have much to say more about the Marina. We're waiting for Department of Natural Resources to sign off on our lease, which is the last step in getting our permit to be able to go out for bid on the 200-foot of dock on a dock that needs to still be replaced. And so all the different agencies have signed off on it, except for DNR. The last I heard from DNR is they asked me about our no-wake buoys and whether or not the lines were weighted or not. And I was like, what? No wake buoys. We haven't had no wake buoys out there for, I'm thinking, 15 years.
I've never seen one.
I'm told that they went away approximately 15 years ago. DNR asked me if we wanted to cancel the lease on the 10-foot circle of lease that we pay for out in the water, a couple hundred feet off at the ends of our and it said, of course, you'll have to remove the anchors that you put in for those buoys. I'm like, that's okay, we'll just pay for the lease. So that was like 2 weeks ago, and I haven't heard anything back. If they send me an email and I respond, and then I don't hear from them for about a month. And they'll send me another question. So it's a very long process.
So by keeping the anchors out there, Shan, do we have to replace the buoys?
No.
Okay.
I'm hoping not.
Okay.
They haven't come back with me with that yet.
Okay, I just wanted to ask. Thank you.
And see, if the buoys are down there somewhere.
The buoys are probably, they probably rotted away and floated away. So if we have to replace the buoys, then we have to hire a diver and buy buoys, and, you know, there goes another 10 grand. That's what I have on the marina, and I could use volunteers. If anybody loves power washing, let me know.
Oh, I love power washing.
Do you have any free time listening?
No.
HR topics.
Well, last week we interviewed a couple CDL pump truck drivers, and today I spoke with one of them and offered the one position. He has accepted, and we will have him starting May 1st. So now we've begun, well, tomorrow we'll begin the background check, et cetera, for him. Make sure that there's no problems. And so at least we have a new pump truck driver. Randy can move into more doing what he's supposed to be doing. And then tomorrow there's going to be two interviews that will be done for maintenance worker. So hopefully we'll be able to find someone that works out for us for maintenance. So that will give us a pretty full crew if it all works out.
Yeah, we're still noting we'll have a maintenance person and a maintenance supervisor and two pump truck drivers. So that's four, as opposed to a couple of years ago we had six.
Yes. Our maintenance supervisor will also be able to do emergency pump driving if need be. We're still trying to build as we go along, but at least this will get us a little bit better coverage than what we have right now.
I'm just pointing out we're still stretched on our maintenance staff, and we're still managing that to keep our budget down.
Mm-hmm.
Because employees are extremely expensive.
They have been working their tails off.
The guys that are out there, thank them for doing their job, because they've been working a lot. They've been working very hard trying to keep things.
A lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I have for HR right now.
And then
Parks
and Rec.
Well, isn't that a TV show? Sunday we had the opening of the Wanigan, the grand opening, and it went very well. It was very well attended. We have a few little things to still finish up with the Wanigan before it's fully done. We want to put in we need to clean off the cabinet or the drain boards or whatever they're called, and maybe put in some shelving below. A couple other things we need to still resolve the water. We have a little issue with the water, and we're working on getting that resolved.
And a little bit of painting.
And but all in all, it's open right now, and we're hoping to work with the events committee. They would like to help purchase new tables and benches in the park, because if anybody's noticed, some of them are rotting away, and we really do need to replace those. So that's something we're working for through this next year.
I was going to say, I want to volunteer.
And the Parks Committee spent the early part of this year working on new guidance for use of the clubhouse, which we have in place now. We have worked on new guidance for use of the park so that we don't put too much strain on our park and preserve it. And so those will be done. They're done. They just have not been fully reviewed by the board. Once we do that, then they'll move into place. A few little changes. Let's see, kayaks coming up this year. The kayak rentals will start pretty soon. So we'll have that going too. And I anticipate there would be a slight increase in the cost of the kayak rentals. Like everything, it's going up. And we need to do some repairs on the racks and those kinds of things. So
regarding kayak rentals, prior to dumpster day, can we ask people if they need help disposing of old boats and so forth out of the kayak racks?
That would be a nice segue.
There's probably a lot of there's a lot of dead boats down there in the kayak racks that are just people. It's probably cheaper and easier for somebody just to pay the lease than to dispose of the boat.
And that'd be a great use for
I'm wondering if we could send out some kind of notice or something to people, you know, just some polite.
To put them in the dumpsters?
Yeah,
I think that would be.
I don't know if we can dispose of them in the dumpsters. We'd have to check with the dumpster people. But we can do that.
They stack really well.
But the other thing is that we do need to, we're working towards the list of renters on the kayak racks and to ensure that, I think there are a couple people who are on the list who have their kayaks there who no longer even live here.
Right.
When I reviewed it last time. So our committee hasn't tackled the kayak racks yet.
That's coming up.
And the other thing that the committee is looking at to do over this next year with the kayak racks is to do some repairs and some better alignment of where the kayaks are. We have ocean kayaks, which are longer, along with shorter kayaks, and people having us to struggle to get their kayaks out because they're banging their shins or their heads. And so we're going to try to reorganize, but that was way too much to take on this year. So
we're also going to number the racks and actually number the spaces. Like it'd be A1, A2. They'll have actual numbers. So the gals up here don't have to work so hard to figure out who's where.
So Barb, you can check on the dumpster if you like, but and which would be a good thing. But point of it, I've taken boats to the dump before.
Yeah,
I took a 26-foot boat to the dump. I
mean, really? Just,
yeah, pulled the trailer up and shoved it in.
It's kind of cool.
Actually, they shoved it with equipment and took it.
When it goes over the side and goes rolling, it's pretty cool.
Okay, well, I will check.
What's that?
Are you going to dispose of the one that's out there on the buoy now?
I'm mine?
No.
Oh, the blue one?
The
blue one that needs to go away? I'd love to.
Yes. I'll check into that.
How long has that been there?
Yeah.
Are we changing the fees for the kayak rental spaces or for the marina?
We will for the kayak spaces. There will be an increase. We haven't discussed that at the parks meeting. Probably this month that will be discussed because there'll be a slight increase.
How about the marina?
I'm not in charge of the marina.
I do not anticipate raising the marina at this time.
Since I'm in the junkie spot.
Oh, you are.
I'm
going to
go on paper for junkie spot.
So I don't have anything else that I can think of. I don't know if, Diane, do you have anything to talk about the memory garden?
Yeah. So we have a tree that's ready to go in the ground. We have, I got to get a hold of Alona because they've got a potted plant that needs to go in the ground. I was supposed to meet with
Teresa this afternoon. She was going to help me measure some stuff so we could get the design all the way done, but I ended up in a budget meeting, and then I had to go do my other things for the meeting tonight, so we're going to meet tomorrow and do some measuring. I'm hoping Lyle will let me borrow her new toy, because she's got a digital... No, I've got one of those, but she's got one that you just shoot it and it tells you the measurements. That's way easier on my small brain. I'm hoping we can borrow that to measure it all out so we can actually put it on paper the right way, because what I have is not very good. I'm not going to lie about it. And that will all be presented next month, and we're going to start working on it. We're going to bring in some compost.
Do you need some mulch?
We're doing compost first.
Do you have mulch? Are you offering?
I have some. I've been offering it to everybody. I have a pile in my driveway. Stan can tell you all about it.
We'll come see you.
I've just been teasing her because she's out there.
Stan would love to have you come take some.
She won't come and put it in my yard because I want it spread over there.
Tiffany and I will come see you for your mulch.
By the memory garden, the work that you guys are doing on there is looking really, really good. When you go walking by, there's like, yes, that's a huge improvement.
So we need to, the reason we're going to put in raised beds where the stumps are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not feasible to get those stumps out. So we're going to build up some beds and do raised beds there. So I want to make sure I've got good measurements on all that. Yeah. And looking for volunteers.
Are you planning to plant the beds around the existing stumps, like kugel culture then?
Like, we're going to leave the stumps there so they rot.
Yes.
And the beds will be right over top of them.
Kugel culture. That's so great. I love that.
That's
so, not that I don't love
Mars, but roads and stormwater.
Yeah, I've got all of the parking lot we're going to do this summer. And the parking lot will probably be down for a couple of days. And I've got part of Windward up here on the lower end down by Seaview. And a section in there, I'm going to try and get rid of all them potholes that's in there. And this parking lot, we are going to have to pull all these bumper blocks up and then put them back in. And he's going to find somebody to paint them, I think. One suggestion that I had was just to pour a blacktop strip down through there to bump up against to park the cars, but I don't know how that would hold up very good.
Yeah.
I think our
already own them.
Cement bumper blocks is going to be the best, so I'm going to tell him what we want to do. Go ahead and spend the money. And then just plan for next year. I already got 900 feet for next year for the guys that's going to do the paving next year, so we are pretty well set. Nothing happens, we can go ahead, and that'll probably start about in the last part of August, around in August, just before school starts. He can't do half of this without leaving a square bumper strip in there and do a good job, so he wants to try and get it set up and pave the whole thing in one day, even if it's a long day. So, but I think if he does jobs like he's done here before, we'll have a pretty nice parking lot. He's going to dig this down here on this side so the water won't run in the building here and take it down to this drain. I told him that if they dug that down, worked on it, I didn't want to have to open the back door on the building here to let the water run through. So we're going to...
Will you just talk to him about those three strips up on West Wind, repairing those strips when he's here? Or
I haven't
before?
Yet, but let I him, will he, when he...
Not,
when he
it shouldn't be any big deal, but
yeah,
there's three.
It's only money.
Yeah, there's where we put in three different we had to dig the road in three different places up towards the end of West Wind. Mm-hmm. And we had the contractor leave them with just compact gravel in there. So that primarily because if they asphalted it now, it wouldn't hold up very well because the soil's so wet. So if we leave it until August, they can come in and do a good job with it.
He bring it in. He'll probably bring enough crew in that we could go ahead and do those. So
unfortunately, there's three places on West Wind, but there's not a whole lot of traffic up there at the end.
Yeah, that might be a little separate thing.
Look, they did a good job up there. Yeah. Putting that gravel in.
If he has a heads up, I'm sure that he should be able to work that in. I'm sure he'll charge us for it.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. That's about all.
You got anything else? We good? Awesome. Richard, you're up.
I'm a little segue with what Marv is doing, because when in the budget committee, one of the things that we were looking at is things like taking care of the roads. And Marv has gone around and really looked at this area, what needs to be done. The parking lot definitely needs to be done. And he's been great at just going, oh, okay, you're only going to give me this much this year to do it. And we just decided we've got to get this stuff done. If we fall behind on the roads, we're just going to be trying to catch up all the time. And Marv has laid out a really good plan of how we can stay up in the roads within really a couple of years. He's thinking that we're going to be about where we should be, and then we'll just have a smaller project. It won't be as big as this year is going to be, but we have to do what we need to do this year to just get ourselves to that point. So now I'll talk about water and wastewater.
I got one thing to say about Jim, the guy that's been doing our paving and stuff. I talked to him to see if he would, the prices of the asphalt and all the work and everything would go up. He told me that he would do it for last year's price, so we're getting it. Shouldn't be any raise on the parking lot and part of West Wind up there. So I thought that was a pretty humanly deal. So just want to brag him up here a little bit.
Okay, water and wastewater. One more quick thing on maintenance. We are interviewing a couple of landscaping companies to potentially come in and do some of our landscaping, perhaps the big part, the little part, doing what some people call bioswales and others we call ditches, to make sure that those things stay trimmed. We got three quotes on just the park and the little park. We had an outfit that came out last week, went around with one of our maintenance people showing where all what we would like to have done as far as the bioswales ditches are done. So we'll have a better idea of what that looks like. Then we have to do like a cost analysis on, is that going to be worthwhile to have a landscaping crew do that so that our maintenance crew can be working on some of the other things that we need to be working on, et cetera. So we'll make that decision.
So clarification, that he's a landscaper, but we're talking about a crew to come in and do the heavy mowing.
Yeah, so it'd be what we got from the three outfits that took a look at this area. They said that they would come out twice a month, every 2 weeks, and take care of the parks.
But we're just talking about mowing.
Mowing.
Mowing and weed eating. We're not talking about landscaping. We're talking about mowing and weed eating.
They call themselves landscaping outfits. Right. They're just going to do mowing and
right. And just making sure the expectations are correct.
Yeah. So you're not going to get your trees trimmed.
You have the kid next door to do.
Yeah.
And to add to what Richard and Stan have said, the reason we're looking at this is in the past we've had one employee that was pretty much designated to do it, and it was a year-round employee. This is kind of a seasonal opportunity, and so we decided a couple months ago to start looking at having a company come in and do it from May to the end of September or something, because we really don't need a lot done after that. And I think it would be, it may sound like a lot of money when they do their proposal, but when you think about a full-time employee year-round and health insurance, the employee taxes, all of that, it really isn't as much as what we were thinking.
So we're going to make a wise decision. We will.
We'll try to.
Yep.
So, since I was not on those conversations, whoever, if we do this, whoever gets the job will weed whack the cyclone fence, correct?
I do believe so.
Okay, because that drives me crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, that would be part of...
maintenance.
Their maintenance, what
okay.
they would be doing.
Just
so,
want to make sure.
So, but we will know... hopefully by tomorrow they're going to give us a bid on what they looked at, and then we have to decide whether that's worthwhile or not. So now to water. Water we've been doing, as you know, I mean, this has been a huge water year. We've been doing so much up there. Stan was talking about up in West Wind. We contracted to have, we had to do three road crossings up there. They found a window where they just went, we got to get this done. I am really kind of amazed at KCL, who's been, they've been contracted by Mike Brewer, but they've been doing some work for us also. They just, hey, this is what we've run into. This is the most efficient way to do it. And we just went, we told them, go ahead, open up the road, let's get those things in there, because we'd already agreed that we were going to do that. And they did it relatively cheaply. It was pretty amazing. They tried for about 4 hours to get a mole through there, and it just kept collapsing. I don't know, this is going nowhere. So we gave them the go-ahead, and they got that finished. And then we'll work on paving that. As far as our well goes, we are starting to decommission the old well. So they've been in there to take a look at it. Later this month, the beginning of next month, they will totally decommission the old well. Chip Roth, who is with Northwest Water Services, they were our engineers that put the water system plan together. He contacted us and he said he now has all the paperwork in place to submit to be able to get our permits to be able to use the new well. Part of that plan, they waited for, they tied the whole thing together before he was going to submit it. So the booster station is tied into that, the metering is tied into that, and the new well is tied into that. They have completed that. Everything is operational, but it's, we can't operate it yet except for the booster pumps. We can't fire up the brand new well yet because that paperwork hasn't been taken care of. But he has the plan. He submitted it to us last week. I have the date on that. He submitted to that, yeah, about a week ago. It's a 250-page document that we have handed out to everybody on the Water Committee. And we're reviewing that. We're going to meet with Chip on next Friday, on the 25th. Any questions that, and it's going to be the Water Committee is an amazing group of people that have been working on this entire water plan that we're implementing right now, just to make sure that everything is covered that they said that they were going to cover. Once we meet with Chip and the committee feels like everything's in there that needs to be there, then he's going to go ahead and then submit that to the powers that be. That plan at that point, he said it could take anywhere from 3 months to 6 months. So, yes, we have a well. Yes, we have a booster station. Yes, we have all these things in place. But we can't use the new well until everything has been approved. And that's, it's just a long process. But he felt like it was better to tie the whole water system plan together as a package. He said it would go through faster than if we did it in separate pieces, even though we've had the separate pieces done for a while. So we will keep you posted on that one. Yes.
Can I add something to that, Richard?
You bet.
Thank you.
Water Committee member.
Yeah. Because I actually started reading that whole 230-page document. I'm not going to even understand this. I don't understand water engineering. But
do you know what the delta and the epsilons are in there in the calculations?
No.
Go ahead.
It's actually pretty interesting. And, you know, Richard rattled off the booster station, the well, the meters. But a big part of that is proving to the state that we can fund our water system.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole chapter, chapter 9, on how we're going to maintain this system. So I think it's really important people know. It's not just like we're trying to get money out of people, but we do have to prove to the state that we have a maintenance fee, we have a reserve fee for you know, major repairs to the water system. So, and there's also a lot of annual documents, things that need to be done that I had no idea that that John, our water operator, has been taken care of, that I think we take for granted. That
and that's a huge point too, because this special assessment that was put together to be able to put everything into place, that's just the beginning. It's now that we have the system in place, we need to maintain and sustain the system, and there's a lot of things that need to be done to be able to do that. And as we have been learning, as we've been doing this, this is a pretty amazing community, how it was put together, because people just went, oh, I'm going to build a house over here. So they'd run a water line from here through three different properties, and we've had to go through and straighten out some of those water mains. So we're learning a lot in the process about things that need to be done and making sure that we will, that we have a budget to be able to take care of those things as they come up too. But it's a huge improvement. The people that are living up on that portion of West Wind and are up on Lookout, most of the houses, they've experienced a huge increase in water pressure. And now that we have that, Chip is saying that we can have up to like over 700 connections if that's something that we choose to do as a community. So it really opens up this community to having even a more sustainable water system. So thank you all for passing the special assessment. We'll keep moving.
Yeah, point of information is the up on Lookout, the water pressure was running down in the low 20s, which was below threshold. And whereas down here it's running in the high 60s, low 70s. It's a significant difference. You know, when you turn on your tap on Saturday morning when everybody's running water and you get a drip, it's kind of annoying. And then you get the water bill in the mail and you're like, what?
Okay.
So they have been able to resolve that now for those folks.
Yeah, it's been great. Lyle, you had a question?
Well, I was following up on what was recently said about us being able to prove that we can financially support the system. Do we anticipate that that's going to impact our fees in addition to the paying off the loan? Are we going to be paying more for the maintenance of the system that we want?
We are looking at that because it is a service that it appears that we are going to have to raise fees on that to be able to maintain the system. There's a lot of the discussion is going, as a community, what do we feel like the community can do, and then what do we need in the rate studies to be able to sustain what we have. So we're looking at those things.
And given the, once the new well comes online and we have access to more water, how does that impact the capacity for our sewage system? Do we have to make adjustments in the sewage?
That's a great segue. Wastewater, my next thing that I'm going to talk about, but there was another question over there.
Okay, I just have one other quick comment. Okay. I talked to the county this afternoon, and they said that they had, as of 4/16, which was last Tuesday, decommissioned the well as requested.
Cool. Yes. So then they totally decommission it. They have to come in, and I can't remember what the slurry is that they put in there, but they seal off the old drill site so that nothing can permeate through that. So, yeah, hallelujah. So wastewater.
Carol,
sorry, Carol.
Carol had a question. Stan was referring to that it's 60 to 70 pressure on the lower areas.
Yeah, those are really rough numbers. I just know that it. I know that the measurements down here, when John was taking measurements, I live up there, so I was doing measurements up there, not down here. And I was told that they can be up in the 60, 70 pound range.
It's nice to be at the lower part of the water system.
Because when I go to use the shower, not personally, but when I was assisting someone with the shower, I had to keep turning it down. Because
it's blowing
the thing off, which is a little bit disheartening.
No, we should have because it shouldn't be. I mean, that's at the high end of where it should be. I don't know what the specific numbers are, but I know.
So that was the second part of my question. As the victim of the boil water system. Can I ask, is there a system, is there something in place that we're checking on the people down below too, so that doesn't just
That's what John does.
He goes around and he checks the pressure on, you know, various areas around the community to see what the water pressure is. That's one of the things that he does.
So then, do we make requests if we think we have an issue? Is that it?
You could make a request, and if he has time to be able to come over it's a cap that you put on there, and it tells you what your water pressure is.
It's just a gauge.
It's just a gauge. So it's pretty simple.
If you want to know,
it's a definite no. But if you want to pay for putting my water,
it might be that you need. You're talking about a shower that comes off down.
So we have.
Need a new one if it blew off. That could be the problem because it could have damaged that, the pressure.
And we
not
had
sure, but we had somebody put in a brand new sink up above, and
we just had a great discussion over here, which I'm not sure is pertinent or not, but you can actually put a pressure valve on your own home. And so if you're concerned about water pressure, you can have that installed by a plumber. You crank it wherever you want it. Life is good. So,
responding to Lyle's question regarding the coming on, the new well coming online doesn't necessarily affect how much water is being used or what's available. We have an outstanding well right now. We have a full water tower.
Yeah.
We're using as much water as we're using. What the new well coming online will allow us to rotate between those wells so that we don't burn it up. And have two, and you know, one well will run, the other one will run. You know, we've invested in a
telemetry system.
Is fancy words for it, regulates the whole system and talks to each other.
So it turns on the other well.
It's because we have a second well that we're going to use more water. It will over time because we'll have more connections.
Right.
And that's I think where you may have been going is we need to plan for that. And we actually have a meeting scheduled here out in another couple of weeks, I think, to talk to our sewer guy about that specific about capacity.
Question.
That is really interesting. One thing, and I want to hear about that, one thing that I went to the Lonergan opening this Sunday. Thank you for hosting. And I read a letter from Don Bradford as president from 1995 that discussed challenges with the sewage. That was actually incredibly concerning. And then when you say 700 increase, so there's a lot of years between 1995 and now. And I'm curious, like, there's a giant gap in my knowledge around from that very concerning letter, and then hearing that we have a capacity for up to 700 connections. Thanks for giving me that letter as a community member, but, like, what about the rest of the history? And then, I'd love to hear what the sewage, wastewater, like, forward planning is, because I'm a little concerned.
At that time, because of our sewage plant capacity, we had applied for a upgrade to our sewage treatment plant. And Don, you can jump in if I'm wrong in any places here. The community had done was put a moratorium on any construction, and so no one could build anything until we got the approval from the county to upgrade our sewage treatment plant. That drug on for 3 years, 4 years?
But it did get upgraded.
It did get upgraded,
and that's why we have that capacity now.
Got it.
Yeah. And talking about the capacity.
Thank you for asking, because going back to my opening statement is, I have a very big, it's very concerning to me and creates a lot of anxiety with the board members when there's misinformation out there. Or missing information, yeah. Such mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. such as, you know, there's a letter circulated that's a problem with our sewer plant. That was 40 years ago.
But she knew that. I knew that, and I knew there's been a lot, right. But it's not mm-hmm. visible.
Right.
So along that same line, and Stan was talking about this too, Stan and I have a meeting coming up in about 2 weeks with Brian Gibson, who's an incredible wastewater treatment manager. I mean, he's been doing it, I believe, for about 13 years now. And we're going to look at capacity. You know, just because we have 700 potential connections to do, are we going to do 700 connections? We need to look at that as a community too. But we have the ability to do that if we choose to do so. But we also need to look at the capacity and some things. There's some changes that are going to happen, just like with the well was not cheap. Any increase in our capacity with the sewage system is not going to be cheap either. And so there's some things that we can do, and we're going to start looking at those things. And Stan and I will be talking about that, and then we'll start presenting that. What do we need to do? What do we need to look
that
to
was
in
1998-ish, 99-ish, the last time it was extended in capacity?
So okay, right, yeah. so
we're still
right,
15 years,
so yes. Right now we're in really pretty good shape. They have it set up with the we're doing 410s, we're doing 34 to 35 pumps a day, and it's able to keep up with that just fine. And we're at like 500 and something. So there's no immediate serious problem. But we have to look into the future, and that being part of the budget committee, that's what we're looking at is, you know, what does the future look like? What do we need to do to be able to sustain our community? And there's some things that we're going to have to put into reserves so that we can be ready to do that. One thing that the wastewater treatment plant did this Saturday is they came in and they replaced all the UV tubes that are in that system. So they have to go through the UV tubes to make sure that everything is dead before it goes back into the bay, and so they took care of all that stuff too. So Brian's really on top of stuff. There's some things he would love to have that would improve the system, but there's also some capacity issues that we need to look at too. But right now we're in really good shape. It's just, where are we going to be in 5 to 10 years? What do we need to do to prepare for that? So
when you say the potential for 700 hookups, that's 700 water hookups?
Yeah, 700 water
hookups. So how many do we have now?
We have approximately, the number varies depending on who you talk to. It's somewhere between 525 to 550, somewhere in there, I think, is about what we have.
And we don't, there are 710 unique lots in this development right now, approximately, depending on the day. Because, and that changes because people combine lots, and so,
right.
according to the county, and although we have the CBHA owns a bunch of those, mm-hmm. you know, this is on one. You know, we own 15, 18, something like that. You know, from including slide lots, including several spot lots around the development. You know, slide lots can't be hooked up.
Right.
So, you know, what's the potential to the potential number within the development that we could hook up? It's not nowhere near 700.
Plus combined lots.
Yeah, no, combined lots are counted in that 700.
But they can't have a second hookup, right? Right.
Right.
So they're one, is what I mean.
Yes. Yes.
But so out of that 700. About 42, which are the slide lots,
right.
would be deducted from that
right.
700.
So I was just trying to get an idea of how many our residents
so,
might be.
So
how many slide lots?
I think there was 42 lots that 42. Were involved at that time. I'm
right. But some of those
getting
may,
old, and I'm starting to forget stuff.
But some of those may have already, some lots that are designated as slide lots may have houses on them and people living in them down on the beach. So, you know, it's a, like Richard said, it's a really hard number to put a finger on, believe it or not.
Well, so what I was trying to get an idea of was how many more residences
that
could possibly be...
That's hard to say. You know, it's sort of like once you have those connections available,
well,
there might be more people who are willing to start building on those lots. But
yeah.
I would...
I couldn't... I That's part of my request advantage for data to identify. You know, when I came into this role, we're going to. One of the things when I came into this role is to, and I mentioned earlier, is I'm doing my own auditing, quote unquote, of some records to so that I fully understand and I can share with the board and everybody affirm exactly what some of these numbers are.
And that helps answer your question, Ray, is going, so what do we really have here, and then how many more lots could we potentially have that we have to supply water to?
Well, I was more concerned about how many more lots we'd have to supply or unsupply sewage from.
Well, right. Well, and that's all part of the same plan. It's like once we know that and how much more we could possibly expand, when we're having our meeting with Brian, what is our capacity right now? When do we need to start working on increasing that? Because we are going to have to increase. We have to increase the capacity. I don't know how quickly, but we will have to do that.
But it's ways out.
Yeah.
And so, there's some things we need to think about.
Yep. So is all good stuff, and obviously we're thinking about it. Yes.
I'm sorry. How can a house be put on a slide lot?
There was all they can't put a new house on a slide lot, but there are a few houses up there on lots that are designated as slide lots that have houses that didn't slide.
Oh.
Right on the waterfront and right whatever that street is up there, Mariner.
Mariner.
Yeah.
Mariner.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess you should say unopened.
Which is a segues into the next item on the agenda of new business. Is discuss guidelines for resolution of slide lot liability.
Wow, perfect.
Can you say that sentence again?
No. Discuss resolution.
So, there are several. Let me. Sorry, when I'm typing, I start using big words. My wife yells at me for that. There are several lots. We have. Four lots that are significantly behind slide lots that are significantly behind in their dues. And we have been presented a proposal from one homeowner that I'm not going to get into because it is a legal matter. We're going to discuss later in closed session how we want to address it. But I wanted to, in open session, you know, say what the board's feelings are on dealing with slide lots that are behind in their dues, because I've seen slide lots sell. I saw one sell for $1,500, and so our collection is challenged. I believe that we could sue the owner individually, but that's not something I think we should do.
I think we need to have further discussion on how to handle those lots.
Right.
But yeah.
So
they sell them, they hang on to them because then they have access to the marina. But if they're delinquent in their dues, they should not have access to the marina, the clubhouse, or the park.
Correct. Right.
Or the kayak racks.
Or the kayak racks.
Were the dues reduced on these slide lots?
They were reduced. They were reduced significantly. But we do have people, since the slide happened, who have decided that they don't want to pay that. They don't feel they have to because they don't have any value.
So
my question is do we want to treat people any differently that have owned the property since before the slide than somebody that bought the property 10 years ago and is now going delinquent on their taxes? Or their not their taxes, but their assessments.
So I made all those calls on the slide lots, and
the biggest complaint I get is they can't even put a tent on their lot to camp there. I heard that.
No, you can't park a car on it. You can't
right.
Be
no, I'm just saying that was the biggest complaint I heard. So what were their options? I said, you get access to the clubhouse, you get access to the car, kayaks, marina. If you choose, that's what you're paying for on your lot. Sometimes they would hang up on me, and sometimes we have people that sent in a suggestion of what they would like to see happen that we're going to talk about tonight. I think that if they just bought those slide lots, they should be paying what everybody else pays.
Yeah. Because they knew what it was.
Yeah. So and it's, no and it's not, I mean, it is us, Carlisle Beach, that has put that restriction on, but we put that restriction on because the county put it on us that those lots
like
cannot be used.
How many years is it? I tried to explain.
It's like 10,000 years.
Oh, I don't. So I was incorrect. I told the guy 1,000. Yeah, it's we have
thousands a lot.
We have the documents from the county.
And I told them
that.
Yeah.
So I said everything was here in the clubhouse. They were welcome to come review the documents. I did
okay.
Tell owners that.
So I'd like to kind of try and circle back to where we
yes.
were. To my question is. And I'm kind of hearing a tone of, well, some people that have maybe owned their lot since before the slide, we may have more leniency with than people that have bought it recently.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
It's probably 90 years old.
Okay.
So, Tiffany,
did you
say?
Sorry,
guys, this is an annoying point of order. You have on here resolution for slide lot liability. In this discussion, I have not heard the specific liability that you're discussing. Are you trying to solve liability in collections and maybe being out, or are you trying to solve liability in land use? It's being completed?
We're talking about money.
Okay, so the discussion being a little complicated.
Okay,
so thank
sorry
you
for not being vague there.
Thank you.
Well, if you say the word money, can you say how much it's costing? Is it $50 a year?
The dues? I think they're $100 a year.
$100
plus capital.
No. Oh,
capital.
Oh,
yeah. Capital. Trustees, fixes, properties, and it's being material.
It's
$100.
It's $44 a month for single lots, correct? Or is it
for
slide lots?
$44? Okay.
Yeah.
You mean, but you're talking because assessments are added to it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I've been in the meetings and when they said it was $50 and then it went to $100.
Yeah.
Okay, so
when I was able to look at what was there, and Mike just confirmed it, it's $44 a month.
Because that's $100 plus the capital.
So every time an assessment goes up, those people that can't use those lots are paying for an assessment.
Yes.
And they might be 90 years old by now because they might have been 60 when they bought
it. Yeah. And they can, there's a couple ways you can look at it. I mean, I know they can't use their lots, but it's like a membership. You
mm-hmm.
buy a membership to a club.
Mm-hmm.
So you're paying, the dues
mm-hmm.
are equal to your membership dues to
mm-hmm.
access a club, whether
right.
it be a health club or whatever, or golf club.
But the assessment right now is paying for sewer.
Yeah, we need to circle back to the question at hand. You know, no, those people are not being charged for sewer.
The assessment is, because that goes to the...
Nope, that's different.
No, it doesn't.
Different.
Okay, we have a
really good news. Yeah, this is not... I appreciate your questions,
yes.
But we've got to stay focused and get so we can move forward here. Okay. I'm going to move on to the next topic and just sum up that, yes, I've gotten my feedback that I was looking for on this issue, and we'll, you know, this is not going to be the first time we talk about it. Yes, Lyle.
One quick little comment. If you go through the entire process and through the delinquency and potentially foreclose on any of the slide lots, liability, the ownership on that would then come to the CDHA. So I think we need to be very careful about the ownership and the liability that
yeah.
accrues from those slide lots.
Okay. The ownership may come back to CDHA if we foreclose. Well, I don't know how much is outstanding on taxes, anything else on these things. And nobody buys it at auction. So, but more than likely, if we went through the foreclosure process, we would spend a whole lot of money and end up with a lot.
and a liability.
And no, we wouldn't end up with any liabilities. Except taxes if they were outstanding.
Yeah.
But taxes on them are a pittance. I think they're $40 a year. So, but we would not be receiving any assessed dollars off that particular lot that now we own.
Some people have given their lots away in the past. I've been in meetings where someone has said, I want to give it away to you guys because I can't take the burden anymore. Is that still an option?
That's what we're going to discuss. That's why we're opening up this conversation, to be very transparent about it, that this is something that's on the table. We're not making any decisions tonight. Any decisions would be made in an open board meeting, but I just put it out there.
Thank you.
Mike has brought to my attention that we used to use QuickBooks annually online, which costs us about $5,000 a year in round numbers. We're no longer using it. Our subscription is coming due at the end of May, and we should probably. I've asked him to look into offloading off all the data, and. We need to somehow verify that all that data is stored adequately, and that however it's offloaded into CSV files, I assume for those people that would know what that is, that it can be reloaded if at some point in the future or accessed and so forth. So, so I don't know. How we can, I know, Mike can push a button and offload it, but I don't know how we can verify. Anybody have any suggestions on how we can verify that it's valid and good?
We have to go through it. And
have Tiffany come in, I guess.
So when you say verify that it's valid and good, what do you mean by that?
Meaning that all of the data, all of the data is there. We can access it.
Uh-huh.
We can look it up and say, to make sure if a question comes up about somebody's past due assessment or numbers that were pre-Vantage, we can get in there and see what exactly transpired.
Well, so, I had to do a lot of CMS and CRM migrations in the past, not many financial migrations.
Right.
But typically what you would do is you would stage a big data export. And then you would export all of those documents, and then before you shut everything down on the source side of things, you would go through those files and just run some quick tests and say, okay, I want to look up this random piece of data.
Yeah, we need to have some test scenarios and to verify it.
And usually the company will typically keep archives to a certain extent on their servers.
Does anybody know about QuickBooks, whether that we can reaccess the stuff?
So I ran a small business for 6 years that went through an accounting change as well as a couple of other options. So when we did this, and also in my regulated field, the termination of the contract is negotiated with the origin company, allowing access in ad hoc requests in order to maintain access, but you still do your own data retention. But if for anything, we need to ensure that QuickBooks will allow us access to the 7 years of required financial data retention. And then we have a cloud account, like it should just go into a cloud.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Cloud account and just backup.
Right. So, I know nothing about QuickBooks. So
you want to negotiate it into the termination.
Well, does it automatically terminate, or is there anything to action?
You don't have like a contract with them.
It's just staff.
We're.
But I imagine as a finance,
I can't imagine that QuickBooks doesn't have something.
So this
ad hoc post contract service requests that you can send in. And
okay.
So I think where we would look for that, since we don't actually have a contract and it's just a subscription model, would be the terms of service.
Right.
That.
Yep.
They should have a data retention policy buried somewhere in that legalese.
And then going forward, we should ensure that anyone maintaining our data for the accounting also has a data retention policy that meets our data retention requirements, and will also honor a ad hoc post-service support.
Tiffany, would you mind looking? Tiffany?
It's Tiffany. My name is so weird. My mother gave me the middle name of Kay. So
okay.
It's
Tiffany. Okay, I'm sorry. would you mind looking into that and verifying that we can have ad hoc access? And if we can reload, if we needed to, I don't expect we would, but...
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Sweet.
Yes.
To clarify something,
yeah.
The information that we've been discussing, I don't think they've used QuickBooks since Margaret Droshi was here. That's
no, we did use it through Pam. Mm-hmm.
We used it up until the point that
Vantage
took over. Mm-hmm. And they loaded a lot of it into their system. But
okay, so we were still using QuickBooks, because I was asking when they went off of QuickBooks.
Okay.
We've been on QuickBooks as far as I know.
Yeah, so all everything up to before he came, you were using that system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, well, thank you for your information.
And I assume it's QuickBooks Online we were using, right?
I think so.
Yes, it was.
Right, thank you. Communications with board, let me just mention that we, historically, we've put out our own emails and phone numbers and so forth, and we're going to be moving away from that at some point. We've already moved somewhat to having board emails, and we're trying to mitigate the amount of phone calls and stuff that we're fielding in the evenings and on Saturdays and so forth. So it's just something that's coming. Nothing is changing as of right now, just kind of a heads up. Bylaw proposals. So.
Oh, wait, hang on. Compliance process. Right, do I have... Oh, sorry, never mind. Ignore me.
Okay.
My document's out of date.
If I get to my bylaw, where's my bylaw? Oh, it's stolen. Steve. so I these are primarily were drafted by Pat here a while ago. She did a great job on looking at them. I poked at them a little bit. The first one is trustees shall be elected. There was a little ambiguity with the election of trustees. Because a number of us, myself included, came in halfway through a term, and so there's a little ambiguity in the wording, and we added no person. We removed and shall not serve more than three consecutive terms to no person shall serve consecutively more than three terms, excluding any partial term of less than 2 years. So it's a little redundant saying you'll be elected for two terms and it's partial less than two terms, but it adds for clarity, I guess. Does anybody on the board have any objection to pushing that one out?
No. That was my 3-minute question.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I was trying to ask is, you have the stuff that's crossed out, so I understand that's gone.
Yes.
Then is anything put in there?
Yes. This is a draft, and it didn't. You're absolutely correct in that it should have an underline under the new portion.
Okay. And what is that, the next sentence?
I believe it's excluding any partial term of less than 2 years.
Okay.
That should have been underlined.
But when you present it on the ballot?
Yep, it'll be absolutely straight up. She will make sure of it.
No matter what.
The next one is actually responding to clarify that some of our personal services contract, well, it's doing two things. One is it's talking about whether or not we, or how much different people have signature authority on for signing checks. And and as well as it kind of rolls in here the approval of a
maintenance.
No, the approval of a approval of contracts on whether or not the board needs to vote on the purchase or not. So we took out the manager because we don't have one. And I just added in, and if the board wants to look at this closely, because I just dropped it in on you, is that contracts for services may be renewed 5 times, not to exceed 5 years, for competitive bids, before competitive bids are solicited.
I don't like that.
Okay.
I have been told by multiple people I deal with that every 2 years you should review and get other bids, one being my insurance agent. I think 5 years is too long.
Okay.
And are you talking about 5 years?
Yeah, we'll respond to questions in a little bit.
It's just a quick, is it
so
5 years?
We'll respond to questions in a little bit. So, and does anybody else have questions, you know, the 2 years, the 5 years I just threw in there, I'm not married to it.
I think we need to reduce it from 5 years.
Okay.
It should be looked at. I mean, 3 years. 2 or 3 years.
So, I'm not married to the time either. I guess my only thing would be, does this language allow for us, like in my line of work, we would renegotiate a contract every year, and inevitably a vendor is going to try to charge us more, and we're going to try to get more value out of their service. And so, I mean, I don't know, that's a renewal contract. Does that apply here if we get a whole new agreement with a vendor for a different price, but it's the same vendor?
I think it would apply.
It would fall under this. Okay.
We said renewed. I'm not sure if that's your...
And that language may not be relevant to this situation. Like, maybe we're just hiring the same security firm for Memorial Weekend or something.
Right. And we have a couple. The two major contracts that this applies to is, one is Vantage, and two is our sewer contract.
Mm-hmm. And our security.
Yeah, the security.
The smaller one. Security is only $1,500.
Right.
Yes,
so,
it's not very much.
Yeah, somebody said, yeah, the insurance contract.
Insurance
and,
is expensive
stuff.
For us.
Yeah, but what I'm concerned with is, you know, there's probably, you know, you did the bidding for when we brought in Vantage. I mean, there's what, 3-4 of them in the area? And if we go out to bid every year...
It's hard.
They're not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
And we were into it... You know, 100 hours plus of our time, or more. And Vantage is probably into it at least that. And, you know, other contractors, so we can't do that process every year.
Yeah. I think with specialty things, such as Vantage, such as the sewer treatment plant, we could look at a longer term. But, like, some other things, I think we do need to look at a shorter term.
Okay. How would we qualify that?
Like maintenance.
Well, the landscapers would be one. We use the landscapers 1 year, and they could be on an annual contract, because say we hire them, we don't want to commit to 3 years, 5 years with them if they're not doing their job.
I'm not saying commit to them, is to do an annual contract, but then we don't have to go out and get bunches of bids every year.
I mean, so there are two sides to this, and one is definitely burning out a limited pool of vendors by soliciting constant bids.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's kind of a seller's market right now for a lot of these services, and that they're not going to mess with you after a certain point. However, we do want to be competitive and try to get the best price. So Is there a balancing act that we can do here that doesn't require us to get three bids on every single thing, especially if it's a renewed service, but that still kind of forces us to look at those prices intermittently? Is there? I think we should keep the language kind of vague so we don't have to apply it to specific categories. So those are probably going to change year over year. I don't have a great solution.
What's our contract with this? Is it like every
this year? One's tough. I don't
I think it's every 3.
I just, for me, I think 2 to 3, I could live with 2 to 3 years, but I think that, and I'm not using you, I mean, insurance is a big one for me. It really is.
Okay, so how about this?
And a broker to me handles one kind of insurance, but not, you should go to multiple brokers. You shouldn't just go with one just because they only handle their pool. Mm-hmm. We should do at least 3. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So how about we do this? We'll send this off to the attorney and say this is what we're trying to get at and ask for the attorney's verbiage.
So I have a comment on sending things to the attorney. the annual meeting packet documents were due today.
Yes.
So I'm sorry. I don't mean to be like a school teacher about it, but we have a printer deadline. And I'm going to do all the things and break all the rules and try to get it submitted in time. I would just say you better light a fire under that attorney's butt because we need it fast.
It'll have to go out to him tonight, and hopefully they'll respond quickly. He typically does. Yes, ma'am.
What if you looked at it a little differently, spurring off of Destiny's comment? What if you put in here language around if there are material changes in the contract, such as if you're coming up on a new contract, you're still looking at maybe a contract every year, but we're looking at material impact of over 10% price increase. We then initiate a competitive bidding, and so then you're looking at what is our variable allowance year over year that reduces our operational burden, but also protects our fiduciary responsibility.
Can you go write that for Stan?
I'm writing it down. So, material changes. How would you quantify those?
Like, so you would look at it from either a service change and scope of work,
okay,
exactly, or a financial variance. So 10% would be, I think, what we're seeing in some of our other thresholds, which I saw in terms of the assessment. What do you think?
Good point.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it,
too.
Yeah, it's good.
That is
amazing.
Okay,
so attorney. Contract services.
No, I do like it. I just like, for example, Tiffany, if this works, we've come up with, let's just go with the filter changers in the park. So one company gives their bid $25,000. We like them. They install them initially. We want to, maintain a relationship with the company. So the next year, if their price is now 10% higher, that would be sort of a trigger to go and get additional bids.
Right? I love that. Yeah.
And I don't think anyone will beat him because
I don't think anyone else
is. That is so procurement process.
Nobody else wants to do it.
That's just a procurement process through and through. I get that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
So I would point out that the capital projects budget comes to about $400,000, all of which are over $3,000 as a line item. And I want to make sure that we're not committing to multi-year contracts for all of this expense without adequate fiduciary responsibility.
Well, I think that's where Tiffany's wording comes in and protects us.
I don't think any of those are multi-year contracts.
Yeah, has anybody signed a multi-year agreement?
I'm not.
Well, this still creates a forcing function of annual or per contract term review, and if it is a material change that would impact us financially, that initiates deeper dive. It doesn't fully abandon. It doesn't abandon. I don't think. No, because you have to trust the fact that you've gotten 3 bids originally to make your decision, and now you're rechecking your decision timely.
Or we don't have enough vendors that want to do the job.
That's like some of these categories, we might have like 2 vendors in a 200-mile radius,
yeah.
So it's tough.
Okay.
Okay. On to the next.
So, still wordsmithing this a little bit, but maybe I can grab you right up between our meetings here, and we can make sure that we've got that squared away. The next one is the monthly assessment of $10 to the is going to $25 in the unrestricted capital expenditures. That's just to support the budget.
Oh,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, smeezy.
Yeah, thanks to your mark.
The next one, the members of the corporation shall. Okay, so this one is to remove the $60, the dollar amount that the assessment will be, monthly assessment will be. It maintains the 10% increase, but every year we have to open this up and re-vote it in. And so we left the 10% in there, but I just struck out the verbiage regarding the actual dollars, the dollar number.
So in concept, it's exactly the same as 10%.
In concept, it's exactly the same. It's just so that we don't have to vote it in every year, year after year. The last one, which I'd like board input on this, is we may or may not want to.
That's not how it works.
We may or may not want to include this. Remove entirely Article 10 regarding property maintenance. This, on the advice of attorney, the way it is not. We would be hard pressed to enforce it. And so we can leave it there, or we can deal with it another day, or put it out there.
Mike, how do other HOAs deal with property maintenance? Do they have a rule or a bylaw?
They have all of that embedded in their CC&Rs.
In the covenants.
Okay. Yeah. And we don't. So we're...
So, yeah, because the issue you guys are running into is that because you have it all in your bylaws and it's not in your CC&Rs, there could be an argument that your master document doesn't reference it, so therefore it can't be enforced.
But don't RCWs cover it?
No, not necessarily. Okay. So a lot of times the order of operations is your articles, your bylaws, your CC&Rs, and then the state law. But, you know, granted that there's this new legislation that just got passed that's going to be consolidating all of the condos and HOAs into one governing RCW, it might make sense to me to just leave it as is, because we're going to be having to do some overhauling of the CC&Rs and the bylaws anyway to prepare for that. So I would suggest...
I have no problem.
Just leave it there.
I have no problem leaving it there right now.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, it was what Pat put out there, and so I thought we'd make sure that...
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to mix that one.
Okay.
For now.
Cool.
For now.
Because there's changes coming down the road.
Yeah.
As Mike mentioned... There was a major RCW, huge, that passed last month, that the governor signed last month, that will drive our association from operating under RCW 6490, and that's a major change in many areas, from collections to you know how we
record retention, owner requests. So it gives a lot more powers to owners to request information. It also gives, you know, a lot of strengths to the boards to, you know, get maintenance and stuff done. It gives a lot of strength to HOAs overall. And one of the issues that they were having is that you have condos built before 1990 under one set of laws, condos built after 1990 under a whole new set of laws, HOAs built before 2018 under its own set of laws, and then HOAs built after 2018 under its own set of laws. And so they're taking all four of those and merging everybody under one set.
Consolidating.
Which is the 64.90.
Uniform.
Yeah.
And,
good.
And right in the bill it says that this is so it is complicated enough that everyone is advised to hire a Vantage.
You put this all together.
It's good for business.
And so we were ahead of the curve there. But one of the main things that the bill does do is when we opt, well, we will be forced into it effective January 1st, 2026. If we opt at the point that we opt into it, if we opt into it on our own before that, maybe possibly next annual meeting, we're not doing it now, is that all of our assessments and fees and everything will become a statutory lien against real property. That means that we've come in right behind real estate taxes, ahead of the bank. So, and it prescribes that when somebody goes delinquent on their assessments, we notify the first lien hold, the bank, that just like taxes would notify the bank. I think that would resolve any collection issues. So that's prescribed in the RCWs. So that's coming at us whether we want it to or not. But we can opt into it next summer if we so choose.
Let's do it.
But it would only apply to debt incurred after the point that we opted into it.
Okay.
I have a quick question about the budget. Do we have the ability to do anything other than approve the budget as a whole? Can we approach line items during the meeting? It's just the
budget has been approved by the board. It will go to the membership for ratification.
Right. As a whole, not
as
a whole.
Okay. And that's the operating budget as prescribed by the that the dues are funding. Yes.
I have a question. I was looking at the line items on there. It says playground equipment. Didn't we already buy that?
Yeah, we bought the ones down here. What we're talking about is the one up on Westwind. There's another playground up on Westwind. And it is many years old and starting to splinter. And, you know, it's very valued by the 5 and 8 year olds, believe me.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
they're kids.
And they read all the bad words that are written on it. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Watch TV.
Well, these little skinny tubes are hard to write on.
Yeah.
Never thought about that.
But yeah, we really consider that an asset to the community, and it needs to be upgraded.
I'm so glad that made it into the budget.
I didn't realize
yes, Dawn.
It was went up there. I thought we were replacing that one. It's brand new. Well, they opened my backyard.
Judy, this was not part of the Parks Committee. We never discussed this. This is something that was put in the budget when they were developing the budget.
Okay.
So, because I didn't know about it either until I asked. So.
Yeah. Okay.
And she's on the Parks Committee. That's why she's
wondering.
I think
we called you in and said, give you a heads up.
No.
Okay.
I didn't know about it until I read it on the thing.
Yes, sir.
Don.
Underneath the playground equipment, meter reading software?
Yes, we are mandated, we are going to be mandated by Department of Health to start reading meters. And that we're going to be able to need to actually record that somehow. And so we need the whoever reads them to be able to record it on a notepad, on a phone, or I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be expensive.
And we have, we do not have digital meters, so you can't just
go back. So it's
so it's a data entry software that we can correlate with Vantage so that we could get those numbers.
I presume that there's software out there that they can, somebody can point a phone at it and read it. I have no, you shake your head, but you don't know.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you may know. Okay, I presume that if they should, somebody should have be able to read that because they can read almost anything these days. And at any rate, the end result is that we need to spend money to comply with the Department of Health.
But he's been taking pictures of the meeting.
So that's another report. So he's working on a report that's due in October. So he's not taking pictures of what the meters are reading. He is looking at the lines that are connecting the houses.
Making sure they're working.
Yeah. So I think about $240 a piece, we could have gotten digital meters and gone bing, 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 bing. But we didn't do that. So we have to input it.
Yeah.
Wow, we started this project, 10 years ago, 12 years ago,
Then
they would have been 75. Yeah, I mean, our water guy takes pictures of a lot of things, but, you know, that's not
that thing. And, so, and we're looking at what software's out there and then how we could most efficiently be able to read our meters.
So you can do these reports, they're mandatory.
Yes.
Yeah. We're trying our best to comply with all the different things that come at us. Review and approval of annual meeting packet.
So I have terrible news. The annual meeting packet is not ready.
And I noticed that all of us are delinquent in our little reports.
You're all delinquent. No, you're delinquent too.
Sorry. I'm back to you.
I know I'm delinquent.
I need your treasurer's report. I have your compliance report.
I sent it to you. Today.
No, that was the compliance report. It's not the treasurer's report.
No, you looked at my letter because Stan got it. So Stan knows what I did.
You sent me an email, so I have to format that into a document, which I can do, but like I'm doing everything else, so it's going to take some time.
Well, Kimmy, can you help me reformat that so my computer will format it? So
it's fine. I'm also taking scan pages.
Kimmy will help me.
That's your one item on my 50-item list.
And I'll get you my report tomorrow.
So if I'm not chasing you down, if I'm not walking you through it, and I'm not taking time, I apologize. I'm just trying to move really quickly. So the outstanding items that I have, obviously, was the budget, which was approved today. And then I have the bylaw proposals, because I need those in order to create the ballots and then hand those off to the ballot committee so that they can match those to their tally sheets. So deadline was today. Just tell the attorney to just make it fast. Make it snappy.
Well, honestly,
it should be pretty easy.
If we rework this one, I'm not concerned about any of the others. They're so simple. Historically, we've always sent them out for attorney review. Mm-hmm. Is it worth the time and $1,000 to send them out?
No.
No.
Save the money.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll need it for something else.
Okay. I defer to your experience on that one.
As long as that one is worded the way, that was beautiful.
Yeah, Tiffany had it.
That's the only one, and we're taking that one all the way out.
Yeah, yeah. I think we removed the last one. Let's just get the bylaws in and completed.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, trustee reports. Richard, I have yours. Just send me a summary of what you've accomplished, what you'd like the next board to do. And then I have John Krennick, who's very quickly, and I feel bad, I'm nagging him quite a bit, but working on his consumer confidence report.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things missing, so in the interest of not wasting a ton of paper and showing you a very incomplete draft tonight, I'm withholding it. My question for the board is more like procedure. How do we approve that since we did not meet our board meeting deadline tonight?
Right. We're going to have another special board meeting. We need 24-hour notice to do that. So we can schedule that for any time out.
And it'd be nice to line that up with when we meet with the water committee, because I would like to have us approve Chip's report so he can submit that. So
when
we
is that going to be?
So if we're meeting on Friday, so by Friday we should have accepted or not accepted his report, I hope.
Well,
he's going to make some revisions.
But if it's like ready by Tuesday or something, we could maybe get a board meeting.
So maybe we could aim for a board meeting next Wednesday so that we give the community a week's notice prior.
May 1st.
Do we need a week or 24 hours? It's ambiguous in the...
I know, it's not worded very clearly in the bylaws. There's a lot of conflicting language.
There's a lot of conflicting language.
I think
in
it's only 24 hours.
That
it
would
has
be
to be posted.
I'm not trying to leave anybody out. I just want to make sure that everybody
We're
gets their packets.
Put it on the website.
Yeah.
And then put it on the reader board.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So,
okay.
Lisa, do you think Chip could revise that thing by, because we're meeting Friday, do you think he could have the revisions ready by Wednesday?
Okay.
We have screwed up our ballots before, so if you had a ballot ready, maybe work out with the attorney, see if we've done the ballot correctly, with explaining to people about the RCW and the, you reject the budget rather than approving the budget.
So I have that language. I made a note of that. But is that the only concern that you have? Are there other concerns with messing up the ballot? If you could...
One time we had to do a ballot over again because we totally screwed it up.
Yeah, I would hate to print.
A special assessment.
I don't want to print 660 of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess, Lisa, if there are specific concerns, could you email me? Because I don't know what to look for, to be honest.
About what?
For the ballots being messed up or whatever. Yeah.
I think last year's ballots.
They all looked good to me. I don't know what I don't know, though. So
maybe Marcia Rowe could help?
Yes, I met with Marcia Rowe today, and I'm meeting with her again next week before everything is final. She's going to be my 16th set of eyes and kind of filter any mistakes.
I think the number of years that she's done it, I think she's pretty aware of should be.
That's what I thought, too. And she...
Let's go ahead and schedule for next Wednesday, if everybody's good with that.
Oh, hang on.
Make sure that we've met all of our statutory requirements, as well as that Chip has a good opportunity to get it back in a couple days.
So is it 6 o'clock?
Works for me.
Me too.
I have to miss T-ball practice, you guys.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to miss soccer practice.
For Wednesday.
Miss watching the news.
It's not worth it. It doesn't change.
I know. I know.
It's kind of like watching a soap opera.
Alrighty.
I think.
I'll get that on the calendar. Special.
So I think that we're done with all the things that are on the agenda.
Yep.
That was the last... yes.
I have a motion that we go into executive session at 8:19 p.m.
Can I, just a second, please? I'd like to acknowledge the work that Ray and Diane did Sunday on the Wanigan trying to repair our water issue, that they spent a lot of time down there trying to fix it so it would be perfect.
Tiffany helped.
But,
I just ran to the hardware store.
It was, I appreciate the work that was done.
It didn't actually resolve anything.
Working on it.
You troubleshooted.
It worked and it looked better, right?
So, go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to go into executive session to discuss existing or potential legal or mediation matters. We do not anticipate any additional motions.